How much stress can they take?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Good morning. We could find out as early as today which of the big banks are going to be allowed to repay their federal bailout money. Meanwhile, a congressional oversight panel said this morning those government stress tests, they might have to be done again. The stress tests were designed to see if the banks could survive a worst-case economic scenario. The panel says that scenario might not have been bad enough. The White House reportedly wants Europe to toughen up its own bank stress tests. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner heads to Italy this week for a finance meeting. The Wall Street Journal reports he will press the European Union to put its banks on the treadmill. Christopher Worth has more from London.
European regulators announced a round of national stress tests last month, but these are aimed at the financial system as a whole, as opposed to individual banks, and the results wouldn't be made public. U.S. officials reportedly want a round of tests applied to specific institutions with greater transparency on their ability to weather another economic storm. Peter Hahn is with the Cass Business School in London. He says a standardized approach could actually be detrimental to many countries' banking systems.
It's a bit naive that the U.S. program, which was designed largely for the single market of the U.S., can be imposed on Europe, which, while we talk about the EU as one market, is still largely made up of a number of national markets.
Hans says there's no European-wide equivalent to federal forms of assistance in the U.S. once it's determined what banks might need to make them whole again. The journal says the International Monetary Fund warned yesterday that recovery in Europe could be slowed by banks with toxic assets. In London, this is Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
This morning, Fiat said it will not walk away from a deal to buy Chrysler's assets, even though the U.S. Supreme Court delayed the sale yesterday by deciding to hear a challenge to it. Some Indiana pension and construction funds are trying to block that deal. European markets are very slightly lower this morning. Asian markets were mostly lower. Wall Street was pretty flat yesterday. The Nasdaq lost 0.33%, but the Dow added a point, closing at 8,764. R.J. Reynolds stock lost 1% yesterday. Congress is considering giving the FDA power to regulate tobacco products. The agency would be able to ban hazardous ingredients, restrict tobacco marketing, and require stronger warning labels. Today, Congress is planning the future of renewable energy. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sam Eaton reports senators are looking to the ocean.
Forget the green economy. Some lawmakers say we're on the cusp of a blue jobs revolution. Think offshore wind farms, aquaculture, even marine biomedicine. The question of how to accommodate all these different uses is the subject of a hearing today in the Senate. Some lawmakers want the Obama administration to divvy up the ocean for various economic activities. But Willett Kempton, a marine policy professor at the University of Delaware, calls that premature. He says the markets need more time to determine which uses will be commercially viable.
I suspect that we're going to see some renewable energy sources that are very, very large, and my guess today would be offshore wind, and some of the others that may wind up really taking very little space at all.
Wave power, for example. Kempton says rather than parceling out sections of ocean, the government should instead focus on streamlining the process for permitting individual projects. Not an easy task when you consider that nearly 24 agencies have a say in how the oceans are used. In Los Angeles, I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
The Boston Globe's owner says it's got no choice but to slash workers' salaries. Last night, the Globe's biggest union rejected a package of wage and benefit reductions. So the newspaper's owner, the New York Times Company, says it will oppose a unilateral 23% salary cut. Globe workers say they'll fight that move through the National Labor Relations Board.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by ConAgra Foods, the people behind brands like Marie Callender's, Hunt's, and Ready Whip. More at conagrafoods.com. And by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight 436 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
The world's top two financial centers are London and New York. Some say London is bigger with its enormous currency market. But the British capital's dominant position is under attack. Stephen Beard reports from London.
Sell 50 euro dollar. The mood in London's dealing rooms is muted, and not just because of the recession. There's been a certain loss of confidence in the future of the city, and that's a big change.
It wasn't that long ago that London was feeling really rather pleased with itself.
Tim Hames of the British Venture Capital Association says that only 2 years ago, London was triumphant, pulling ahead of New York as the world's top financial centre.
It seems to me that there are plenty of people in New York who might have been feeling miserable 2 years ago, who have reasons to feel a little bit chirpier now.
The main reason, he says, is the recent UK budget that hit high earners hard. The government raised the top level of income tax from 40 to 50% in order to plug the huge hole in its finances.
All it has done is instill wrath and indignation.
David Buick, a money broker, says it won't raise much extra revenue. It's just made London less competitive.
There are plenty of other countries around the world which are in a position to offer a more favourable level of taxation.
So far, only one top private equity boss has relocated as a result, but dozens of others are still threatening to take their business elsewhere, and now there could be another incentive to do so. Economist Ruth Lee says the European Union is itching to tighten regulation in London.
There is a huge envy towards the City of London. They're absolutely dying to get their hands on the control of London.
She says in the wake of the crisis, the French, the Germans and the bureaucrats in Brussels have cooked up a plan to curb the activities of European hedge funds. Most of them are based in Britain. Lee says many will be driven out.
It's not so much that London will just shrink to absolutely nothing, but it will lose business to centres like Zurich, places like Singapore and Hong Kong.
New York may also lose business to foreign centres like these, but Lee says London will be more vulnerable with its higher tax rates and more onerous regulation. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And back in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thank you for tuning in this morning. I hope you have a great Tuesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.